thinking big thoughts so you don't have to.
Hello.
Here's John Williams.
This is John. I was on earlier today with Bill and Wendy. I called in. I do that sometimes. The amazing thing is they actually let me. So thank you, Bill and Wendy, for letting me be part of your always funny, entertainment and thoughtful show. Entertaining and thoughtful show. I got to do this. Here we go. I don't know if you were listening to Bill and Wendy when I called in, but I just want to correct a couple of things. I left the impression on Bill and Wendy's show that I don't like doing my Saturday show. They said, oh, you're going to be on Saturday. And I went, uh-huh. And nothing could be further from the truth. I just want to set the record straight because I love working with my Saturday crew, and I'm only on 2 hours a day, which is fine. But if I can get on Saturday and do some other things as well, we're happy to do so. So there's that. Also, I called in because I wanted to talk about the movie conversation they were having. They were talking about Shape of Water, and Bill said it's just a great movie, and they were all sort of championing it. And I just called in to say I thought it was a really fun movie, but I would be careful telling everybody, go, it's a great movie, because it's such a flippin' weird movie that I don't know that you're necessarily going to like it. I said, I think you'll know right away. You're going to sit down and go, well, this will never happen. This is a weird movie. This is ridiculous. And I'm on board. Or you're going to say, and I'm not going to do this. I'm sorry I gave him my $12. All the way up to the dance scene at the end. So, I was trying to explain that. I don't think I made it clear that, in fact, I like the movie. I bought in. I was there right away. I go, okay, this is nutso. Let's go. Let's go. Let's have a big old fish dancing movie. Let's just go. So I was on board. But you may not be. And I don't know why I care, but I seem to more this year than I have in the past. I do not want it to win Best Picture. Because I want my Best Picture, to me, the Best Picture winner for any given year is sort of like the United States of America saying, and that's what we got. And this is the best we got. This is a all-American production. You know, I mean, really, movies are, Hollywood is an American export. It's intended for domestic consumption, too. But it just seems to me like that should be the sort of imprint of the United States of film. This is who we were as a nation at that time. We love that movie, right? And we, Shape of Water is not that. You know, that's a great movie. It's an artsy movie. It's an allegorical, I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. So what should win? I don't know. I don't like Dunkirk either. So I don't want Dunkirk to win. The nominees are The Post, Lady Bird, Get Out, Dunkirk, Phantom Thread, Three Billboards, Shape of Water, Darkest Hour, Call Me By Your Name. I've seen just about all of those. You know, if The Post won, it shouldn't. It's not the best movie, but it's got your Tom Hanks. It's got your Meryl Streep. Meat and potatoes. So what more do you want? If The Post won, I think history would look back at us and say, all right, yeah, we get it. But if Shape of Water wins, history is going to look back at us and go, what were you people smoking? Did you like, were you so distraught that you needed a fantastic diversion?
You really think that when we look back in history, that's what we're going to be questioning? We have so much going on right now.
Yeah, when they look back at 2018, they're not going to go, why did you pick that movie?
Shape of Water, right.
No, they're going to talk about other stuff. So I just don't want Shape of Water to win for that reason. It's just too weird. It's just not, this will sound elitist, but it's not accessible to most people. A lot of folks will go to that show and go, what? Dunkirk, a lot of folks will go to that show and go, eh, because they didn't understand a word of it. For me, so while The Post would win, and I would be okay with that, you know, what a safe, conservative, all-American choice. The best two movies I've seen this year, I've said it over and over again, are Get Out and Three Billboards. And either of those would be great for me. Get Out is a little too out there. And Bill and Wendy were talking about how movies like that tend not to win. Three Billboards, I don't know if that, I don't know what's going to win. In fact, I was looking at the Sun-Times today, and they had five things that they're looking forward to at this year's Oscars, and number two on their list was Nobody Knows What's Going to Win Best Picture. Nobody knows what's going to win Best Picture. Let's do this, a little mini micro survey. Text to 312-981-7200. The best movie you saw this year was? Maybe it's one of these nominees. Maybe it's not even nominated. I don't care. But I presume we'll get enough of the nominees. It'd be helpful if you picked one of them. But the best movie you saw this year, 312-981-7200. Text to 312-981-7200. Tell me the best movie you saw this year. Envelope Gate, they say, this is the first thing that in the Sun-Times today, and it was actually the USA Today insert into the Sun-Times. They said they're looking forward to how the producers this year are going to lean into last year's mishap. Even the promos for it have already made fun of the fact that they're going to make sure they get the envelope right, don't get it wrong, that sort of thing. So Envelope Gate, nobody knows who's going to win Best Picture. The Ryan Seacrest mini-drama, they're interested in that. Mary J. Blige and all of the songs nominated will be performed. They're looking forward to the quote-unquote R&B powerhouse, who is also nominated for Supporting Actress, will take the stage to sing her nominated Mudbound song, Mighty River. Sufjan Stevens will be up performing, along with the rest of the artists for the nominated song. So that's number four they're looking forward to. And then they said just some interesting people will be presenting or will somehow make appearances as special guests. Chadwick Boseman, Dave Chappelle, Lin-Manuel Miranda, Sandra Bullock, Emma Stone. And the special guests of the Oscars are number five on the USA Today Today's list as printed in the Chicago Sun-Crimes. So just text to 312-981-7200. Violetta, did you see enough movies to have a strong opinion about that this year?
I saw previews.
Well, that's what I do. I tend to rate movies based on the preview. But no, I'm looking for people that were there for the whole 2 hours. Kevin, if you, Kevin's working on sports, so I won't bother him right now. But I'll ask him that in a few minutes as well. I'm also looking today at the president's tweets. We really haven't talked about Donald Trump's tweets in a while. And to me, they generally fall into two kinds of categories. The one that I wanted to just mention briefly today, because it seemed to be a return to form for the president, is the one where he takes on Alec Baldwin. This is what I expect from Donald Trump. The sorts of tweets that I want from my president are ones where he gets into Twitter wars with Hollywood stars, where he says Meryl Streep or Alec Baldwin or somebody's no talent. Alec Baldwin, and it's just because they are such complete non sequiturs, and because how much damage can he do, right? Like some of his tweets could lead to nuclear war with Korea, or some of his tweets could upset the trade balance of the world, or so, you know, some of his tweets can have real serious consequences. Devaluing the media, whatever. But when he just says Alec Baldwin is a has-been, that I can get my teeth into and enjoy. The president tweeted today, Alec Baldwin, whose dying mediocre career was saved by his terrible impersonation of me on SNL, now says playing me was agony. Alec, it was agony for those who were forced to watch. Bring back Daryl Hammond, funnier and a far greater talent. That is like a classic Trump tweet. There's turns of bad logic. It's utterly unimportant. He takes things so personally. His emotions are right on his sleeve. God bless him. So that's all good. That's a great tweet.
Do you think he rereads it, or do you think he just post?
Don't know. Why do you ask?
Because I just think if you were to reread it, you would think, huh, should I shorten this? Should I take my opinion out of this a little? Should I just make it, you know, less is more sometimes.
Oh, yeah, right. Nobody has been served less than the president by the additional characters. You know what I mean? I mean, you look at some of his things and you go, oh, boy.
It's too many characters. I wish they took away the characters.
Totally. I think the Twitter was perfect. It was 141 or 142, 140, whatever it takes. That was perfect. Now it's about 280. And you look at literally this is what's happened to the American attention span. you look at some tweets and go, oh, I'm not going to read all of that.
Look at all those tags. I got to look up all those people.
Look at all those, like, letters. I don't have time for 280 letters. You know, Tolstoy somewhere is turning over in his grave. I mean, how do we have time for novels and long movies, but we don't have time for 280 characters? But for some reason, we don't. They look way long.
It's a whole paragraph.
I know. And that's not Twitter. Alec Baldwin, whose dying mediocre career was saved by his terrible impersonation of me on SNL. You'd think then that there must have been something good about his impersonation if it saved his mediocre career. But anyway, now says playing me was agony. Alec, it was agony for those who were forced to watch. They make it sound, he makes it sound like there's like prison camps where, you know, guys who aren't talking, they're sitting under the white bulb, the white hot light bulb. And I say, all right, get out the Baldwin impersonation of Trump. That'll make him, he'll squeal like a pig. He'll talk now. Bring back Daryl Hammond, funnier and a far greater talent. I went back and watched, and I never saw this, but he did a sit-down interview with somebody right after Baldwin started doing Donald Trump on SNL. And it was one of these, you know, in his living room with the lights down, a couple of bright lights on the interviewer and him, and it was a very comfortable setting for him. And I don't know anything about Daryl Hammond. He's pretty good, right? Talented. He did Clinton really well and so forth over the years for SNL. He was their go-to guy. And he started doing Donald Trump. And he did an okay Donald Trump. I mean, he's good. But he didn't do it the way Baldwin did it. And he was told that Baldwin is a bigger star. And he really resented that. Because that is his stock and trade, and he's the guy. And now you're just going to hire Alec Baldwin because he's Alec Baldwin? Are you kidding me? I'm Daryl Hammond. This is what I do. I'm the guy. So he was really upset, and he said that the first time he watched it, he actually vomited. He threw up. It was so painful for him to see Baldwin doing Trump.
The thing is, Baldwin as Trump feels like it's Trump. The other guy as Trump feels like it's a skit.
Alec Baldwin?
Right.
I actually heard Daryl Hammond behind me while you were watching it, and I didn't like his voice at all, his delivery.
Well, don't you think the Baldwin version is funnier?
Yeah, definitely. Exactly. The Baldwin version is better.
And maybe the
and it's more accurate. It doesn't feel like a costume. It feels like it's him.
That's the thing. Well, for one thing, Hammond said in the interview, he said he really likes Donald Trump. And then he had the most interesting analogy. Daryl Hammond said about Donald Trump, they said something about liking Donald Trump. He said, why would an anthropologist hate his work? That is, an anthropologist studies, I'm trying to figure out what that means, but I think I know what it means. You know, if you're an anthropologist, you study people, you study cultures. And even if they're not like yours, or you don't quote unquote like that culture, you love your work. And so you sort of disassociate yourself with your affection for the object you're studying. It's just something you're studying. You're neutral about it. I'm an anthropologist. I don't like the Mesopotamians anymore, and I like the Americans or the ancient Greeks. They're what I study. It's what I do. So he has that sort of approach to Donald Trump. He doesn't hate Donald Trump. He does Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Baldwin hates Donald Trump, and you can feel it, and you can tell it. And for those of us who aren't big fans of the president either, we get a vicarious thrill just watching Baldwin take him down. And I think that's part of Hammond's problem, to say nothing of the fact that it just hurt his feelings that they pulled him aside after he'd done it a time or two, and they go, we're going to go with a bigger star. And he hated that. He hated that.
That's a huge bummer for him. That's sad. But
yeah, but...
But Trump, I think, maybe does a better job than he did. No offense.
Well, and besides, you know, it is what it is. You know what? You're working for Saturday Night Live, and if you're not as funny as they want, or you're not what they want, you don't get to claim that turf. You don't get dibs on anything in this.
Be better
in this
then. Well,
that's
the professional in that field.
Totally. That's what it is. Then find a better version of it, because Baldwin's is funnier. We asked you to tell us what the best movie is you've seen this year. Text to 312-981-7200, the best movie you've seen this year. Get Out, Dunkirk, Darkest Hour, Three Billboards. We're all over the map. That's good. Dunkirk, Get Out, two for those. Slapshot, I guess you get to go back. Three billboards. Two of you said The Greatest Showman. Three billboards, The Greatest Showman. Darkest Hour. John, I thought The Greatest Showman was the best movie of the year. Hi, John. Three billboards. Three billboards making a run here. It's one of the top two for me. I wouldn't hate it if that one won. Dr. Mike over there volunteered the Joint Relief Institute in Orland Park will match donations this week up to $1,000. We're closing that match at 3 o'clock today. There is still money in there for your donation. Your $25 donation just before I came in, somebody donated $25, becomes $50. Money goes to the Lurie Cancer Center, University of Chicago, and City of Hope. It's pinned. Did we pin the video of me dancing to the top of my page? If it's not there, let's make sure it's there, Elif. You can visit Arthur Murray Dance with Chicago Celebrities, AMDWCC.com, or visit me on Facebook. I'm WGN King John. Get your donation doubled right now. By the way, to those of you that are saying the best movie you saw this year was Greatest Showman, that's not even nominated for Best Picture. I'm okay with that. I just said, what's the best movie you saw? And I'm hearing Three Billboards and Greatest Showman, which some people hated, but that's the beauty of America. You know that Jeannie Ives commercial that we're running right now? We just ran it, where she says, Mike, you know, he's afraid to something about Mike Madigan. When you hear that commercial, do you hear the same voice I hear? Just play that, Elif, what I'm hearing.
Tigger hugged me at the door and I thought I was going to cry.
I guess Roy isn't doing as well as they first thought.
This is the voice I hear.
Who's Roy? Roy of Siegfried and Roy. He was attacked by his own tiger and suffered devastating injuries.
It's a very funny bit. But next time you hear that Jeannie Ives ad where she's talking about Mike Madigan, tell me if you don't hear the Debbie Downer voice in Jeannie Ives' voice when she's talking about Mike Madigan.
I hear it.
I just wanted to scratch that itch. And if now maybe I've sort of created a earworm for you and you're not going to be able to get it out of your head. But every time I hear that, I go, oh, my God, that's the Debbie Downer character.
Now I've got your attention.
Just listen for it. And maybe I'm right. Maybe I'm wrong. It's 128. Hey, you know that dancing thing I'm doing? Since we are closing the match at 3 o'clock, thank you very much to the folks at the Joint Relief Institute. I wanted to take just a minute after the news and tell you where that money goes. It's really some interesting organizations here in Chicago that are fighting the good fight on the cancer front. And we'll visit with one of them in a few minutes.
Well, it's one for the money, hey. Two for the show, three to get ready, now go get going, but don't you step on my boot.
I own a pair of blue suede shoes just by coincidence. I really do. I kind of like them. I wear them in the warm months. Blue suede shoes.
Knock me down, step in my face, slamming my name all over the place.
When they asked me to do this Dancing with the Chicago Celebrities fundraiser event, I said, all right. And Danny, the lady I danced with, Danny Atkins, she said, well, how about we do Elvis Presley blue suede shoes? So you'd think that was kind of karma, right? Maybe that's a sign. And she was very encouraged after our first lesson. And then her enthusiasm for me as a partner waned a little bit. And then it kind of came back, and it depends on how well I do. I'll tell you what, dancing is not natural or necessarily easy for me. But I'm learning to dance to that song. I will be wearing my blue suede shoes at this Chicago Dancing with Celebrities event, which is going to be March 16th, which you can attend, by the way. Some of the prettiest and best-known faces on TV in Chicago are there, from Channel 9, Channel 5, Channel 2, Fox. So it's a gala of really attractive, I think almost all women, and then me. I'm what's known as an outlier. But I like to dance, and I really do. And I really like the cause. And So I wanted to invite somebody in to tell us just a little bit about that cause. Sitting with me right now is Jane Melvin. She is the event chairperson for Dancing with Chicago Celebrities. Hi, Jane. Welcome to the show.
Hey, John.
Welcome to the studio. How did you get involved in this?
I was taking lessons at Arthur Murray, and they decided that they can run a dance event, and they wanted to raise money for breast cancer. So I said, I'll help.
What's your background?
My background is I'm a marketing person, and I help people live their big lives.
You worked for Starbucks once upon a time?
I used to be the international marketing director for Starbucks. I worked on the McDonald's business for a lot of years, and now I do this as a volunteer.
Not to get distracted, but international marketing director for Starbucks.
Yeah.
So that worked out pretty well.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Yeah.
Nice to have a little bit of that stock.
Do you?
Yeah.
So now you can afford to maybe pursue your great interest. But is your interest fighting cancer, raising money, or dancing?
My interest is helping people use their talents to make a difference. And this event is an unbelievable example of that.
You heard my little micro speech about my little mini thing about one day when I was talking about always kicking myself after these dance lessons because I'm not that good. It does not come easy or natural to me. And then Dani sort of pulled me aside and she said, you have to stop that. You are what you think, what you say, what you feel. Be positive. And this isn't about dance. I began to realize, although she was talking to me just about how I've got this self-deprecating attitude. I walk out of there going, well, you know, I'm sorry for you, ha, ha, ha. And she said, stop that. Come in here next time with a more positive attitude. And I have been doing that ever since. And every now and then when I fall into my bad habits, we look at each other and go, dude.
Yeah.
You know, don't do that.
They are magicians at Arthur Murray. I'm telling you, what they have figured out how to do is to show people that together you can do things that you can't do by yourself.
What a nice way to put it. And you agree with my little philosophy about this, don't you?
Oh my gosh. I'm involved in this event because of what Arthur Murray showed me about dancing and how to live bigger. And now we can help other people live and live bigger.
That's not why I went to dance lessons at all. You know, I didn't, trust me, I don't have an ego problem. I live large enough as it is. But it's a completely different sort of mental and physical exercise.
Sure is.
And it's fun. And, you know, I only got into it because I wanted to give my wife a Christmas present one year. And I got her some lessons. And we've been doing lessons and dancing ever since.
That's great.
And we have not gotten great, but that's okay. You know?
But you have fun, right?
Some people want to compete. Our Mary Vandeveld has the gowns and she goes for it. That's not our level of interest, but that's okay. We have a great time.
No, I always describe it as like in Oz, where she lands, the house hits the ground, and she opens the door, and all of a sudden, life is in color. But she didn't know it was in black and white before. That's what the ballroom is for us.
So, how does that translate to making money for these organizations? Lurie Cancer, University of Chicago, City of Hope, and Silver Linings Foundation. Three organizations in Chicago?
Four-ish. Three plus one with great ties to Chicago.
Yeah. So the money raised gets divvied up amongst them to do research?
Yeah, we do about three quarters of the money raised goes to preventative research. The thing with us is that we're a really small organization. We have no paid staff. So we trust the professionals to put the money where it's going to go to work the hardest. So we fund very early stage innovative research at these great institutions. We also fund access to care. So women in Chicago who can't afford mammograms and diagnostic services, 15 hospitals, if they need a mammogram, they can get one. And we support that effort as well.
What a great grassroots idea.
It's amazing.
I mean, you got to make some hard decisions when you're doling out charitable dollars, but I think that's money well spent.
Absolutely. And each year, we don't know what's going to happen. It's people like you who come in and say, I'm going to do this. And every year it gets bigger and bigger. This year, your class of celebrities, your group, unbelievable what they're doing. And what a battle for the MVP.
Well, there's two awards. One's given to the person who raises the most money, as I understand it. Another one is who dances the best. So they've been, I think, cordoning us off for the lessons. When Dani and I do it, ain't nobody else there from the competition. But I went a different day the other week, earlier this week. What day did I go? I went Monday. Well, what's-her-face from Channel 9 was there.
Megan Dwyer.
I know. What's-her-face. And she has on, like, practice dance clothes. You know, like a leotard thing. And I thought, oh, no. She's got dance clothes. She knows what she's doing. And I was watching. You know, we were both kind of like, oh, nice to see you. But then we kind of agreed not to look at each other. But I'm looking at her, doing her dance stuff. And where Danny and I were still, okay, you need to go over there and then turn left and then real basic blocky stuff. They were working on details. So they're a little ahead of the game than I am.
You know? Yeah, but I heard her say something about she heard you had blue suede shoes.
Do we have my blue suede shoes music, Elif? Play blue suede shoes again, because this is what I'll be dancing to. And just so you know how great the challenge is for me, listen to the pace of this music.
Well, it's one for the money, two for the show, three to get ready, now go get going, but don't you step on my blue suede shoes.
So we're doing the quick step today.
Well, you have to. It's really quick.
I said a waltz would have killed you. So one of our sponsors, Dr. Mike Hanna over at the Joint Relief Institute, it's kind of ironic because my joints are taking to pounding.
My knees kind of hurt.
He's the guy in Chicago you go to if you've got knee pain over at the Joint Relief Institute. And he said, I will do a match this week. And he is on line 7. Doctor, are you still there?
Hey, John, how are you? I'm still here and I'm listening to you. It's really amazing, and I listen to the music. It's actually making me dance now.
Well, go easy, man, because it's hard on the knees. Let me tell you something, my friend. So here's what we've got. You said this week, and I haven't maybe been plugging this enough because we actually still have some money in the kitty. Up to $1,000, you'll match any donation. Am I right, Mike?
Yeah, as long as it's done before the end of the day today, we'll match dollar for dollar. $10 will be $20, $50 will be $100.
Well,
they just have to do it as soon as possible.
Here's what's going to happen. Rokan is not going to push this for me. I mean, he would as a favor, but this is my baby. It's not Rose. And my show is off at 3. So let's do this right now. It's 1:45. Donations between now and 3. You guys, you're not going to hear us talk about it after 3. Make your donation now. If you give $25, it's $50. If you give $18, it's $36. The good doctor here at Joint Relief Institute is going to double any donation. Where am I on the donation race?
Well, right now you've raised $299 against this match this week, so we have $701. I'm throwing in $50 in honor of Ronnie, the Uber guy who drove me over here, because he was so awesome, and he was a former law enforcement agent, and he knew somebody with breast cancer, so I'm going to put $50 in.
Thank you.
It makes 100.
That's 100 from the doctor. Here's what you do. Go to my Facebook page. I'm WGN King John on Facebook. WGN King John on Facebook. The video of me dancing and the link is right there. Or you can just go to the website.
You can go to the website, or you can go to our event Facebook page. And I just put a post there with your link, so they can just click right there.
What's that?
It's Dancing with Chicago Celebrities.
On Facebook, Dancing with Chicago Celebrities. Or AMD, Arthur Murray Dance, WCC with Chicago Celebrities. Go to AMDWCC.com
.org.
.org. Yeah. Go there right now and make a donation. Dr. Hanna, are you much of a dancer, by the way, sir?
Yeah, as much as I can. So here's what we're going to do, since it's only an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Anybody donates more than $50, we'll double match it. So 50, we'll put 100, it'll become 150.
Oh, no kidding.
So we can... Yes.
Oh, my God. My knees are celebrating, Dr. Hanna.
Okay. So you're doing that for donations over $50, right? For donations over $50.
Or more. We'll double match it.
Okay. So that's...
Every $1, we will put $2 from our side.
Well, that's a triple where I come from.
Oh, my gosh.
So 50 is 150. 25 is 7. No, 50 is 150. You're doing this for donations $50 and more. Am I right, doctor?
Correct.
Okay. Correct. Okay. Well, all right. Let's do this then. I'm going to call you back. Let's do it right after 2 o'clock, doctor. I'll call you back and let's see how this works. Elif, can you blue suede shoe us out with some music here? And I'll call you again in about 15 minutes and let's see how much the triple match. You know what you're getting yourself into right here, doctor?
Yeah, no, I love it. Seriously. It's a nice cause, and dancing is really related to what we do. Most of the time when patient gets talked, they say I went in a dance. So I love this.
That's right.
So let's
do
it. We'll match anything. We'll match any dollar that comes before the end of the show, and we'll double match anything more than 50. So if you really want to help, put something more than 50.
About that, I did not know he was going to do that. I thought he'd go ahead and be good for the match. He said he would. But
I love the Joint Relief Institute.
Okay, the website, One more time. Jane Melvin is?
AMDWCC.org.
AMDWCC.org. I'm WGN King John on Facebook, or your Facebook page, which is
Dancing with Chicago Celebrities.
By the way, just real quick, so what's your, you mentioned where the money goes. Do you have a particular anecdote, story, place that will make me feel good and concrete about my donation?
Absolutely. I have two. One is 2 years ago, one of the ladies in the trial at Northwestern that we were funding stood up in front of 600 people and said that we saved her life. So that chokes me up. The second thing is in December this year, we were able to give an additional $25,000 to pay for mammograms. And 10 days later, I got a call from the person who runs the program who said, the minute we got your check, we let people off the wait list, and one of our ladies was diagnosed with breast cancer. So please tell your donors that you saved a life today.
Well, good for you guys.
Good for you. You're the one doing it.
I'm going to do a little bit of dancing. The doctor's going to do a little bit of tripling donations, $50 and more. And he'll double any donation that comes in at all up to $1,000 between now and 3 o'clock. Okay, Jane, I'm looking at my email. I'll watch the donations as they come in. I get an email notice when they do. Thank you for what you guys are doing.
Thank you,
I'll
John.
See you on the 16th, right?
Oh, I can't wait. I'm going to be boogieing with your blue suede shoes.
I will be wearing blue suede shoes. I think I'll have a blue suit on as well. And I'm going to do well. None
you're
going
to do the quick step your life dependent on it.
And some lives do. Thank you, Jane. It's nice to see you. Remember, I'm WGN King John on Facebook. You can go there, make your donation. There's a link. Or you can go to AMDWCC.org, Arthur Murray Dance with Chicago Celebrities, AMDWCC.org, and make your donation. And the doctors over at the Joint Relief Institute are going to triple donations that come in. I'm really excited about and appreciative of that. In fact, Jane, as she was leaving, said, I'm going to go make a donation right now. She's in the green room, I think, making her donation. She's doing it in the name of the Uber driver who gave her a lift over. My wife takes Uber and Lyft a lot more than I do. And whenever Brenda does, she invariably has a story about her Uber driver. Well, I was talking to my Uber driver. He said this. The person who was driving me in Lyft said this. Now, they're interesting people sometimes and strike up interesting conversations. But the Uber story that's making big conversation today is Kenneth Bachman from Sewell, New Jersey. Have you heard this one? He was visiting friends late last week near West Virginia University. He'd been drinking at a fraternity. He decides to do the right thing and take an Uber home to wherever he was staying that night. The problem was that home for him, his home, was 5 hours away. The driver was up to the task. He picks him up. He then sees, as I understand it, when you're an Uber driver, right, you don't know where you're going until the person gets in the car. So he gets in the car, and then he realizes, the driver, that it's going to be a 300-mile trip. And the guy takes him there. The bill was $1,635. The guy had no intention of going to the home on his phone. He wanted to just go to where he was staying that night. So he contested it, but then has agreed to pay the $1,000. I mean, he talked to Uber. And, you know, this is a funny one because there are times where you get a bill. Say your kid was racking up long-distance phone calls or text messages or somebody went over on the program that you have, you know, but and you get this big bill. And you go, oh, no, what am I going to do? If you're overseas and you're on a cell phone, you know how expensive it can be. And you get these gigantic bills. And I've always sided with letting those people off, cutting them some slack. Because if it's just ones and O's on the internet, if it's just a telephone, if they say we're talking on a landline or a cell, you know, you weren't out anything, were you? Now, an Uber driver is out gas, you know, like, and time. I mean, it's his time, his money. So I think you really don't have much wiggle room here. You've got to make the guy pay the full freight. He took you 300 miles home to New Jersey. And then, by the way, he had to drive 300 miles back. What's that, a 6-hour trip? So you got to pay. And instances where I have found myself, thank you for your donations, when I have found myself with a bill larger than I thought I had to pay, for instance, a bank overdraft notice, that's another one. I go, wait a minute, the overdraft fee is $30, $40, whatever it is. I go, you guys really weren't out $40. This did not cost you $40. The fee is $40. It's going to cost me $40, but you can cut me some slack here because you did not incur a $40 expense. Same with the phone company, same with the internet company, same with the thing. It's just a program. It just generates a number, and then you got to pay it. Now, if you know somebody built you a bedroom, say, you know, if somebody did something with hammers and nails, and they say, doing an addition to your house and they incurred more expenses, then you got to pay it because that's real stuff. But ones and O's really aren't. In the case of this, I think you got to pay $1,635. We went to a frat party and then went to a bar. I was getting drinks all night, he said. I probably spent like $200 at the bar after already drinking all day. Wow. Basically, I just kind of blacked out. The last thing I remember was being at the bar, and then I just woke up in the Uber next to an older dude telling me I was an hour out of New Jersey. And I was like, that's crazy. Like, why did you agree to, like, take me to New Jersey from West Virginia? It's unclear who holds the record for the longest trip via car-sharing service. I don't know. Did we have Uber when 9/11 happened? We did not. I think I remember stories of people taking cab rides. Remember, you couldn't fly. People were stranded all across the country. So I recall some people hiring friends or strangers or taking cab rides that were several hundred, sometimes thousand miles cross country. It says here they don't know who has the longest trip via a car sharing service. In the summer, three Chinese professionals called an Uber to take them from Dallas-Fort Worth to Nashville. It looked close on a map. That's more than 650 miles. Took 11 hours. It doesn't say here what that cost them. So that's the latest Uber story. It's 1:59. It's coming up on 2 o'clock because that's its job. After 2 o'clock, we're going to talk a little bit about the president's trade tariff ideas and also what's happening with Delta Airlines in Atlanta. Have you been following that story? It's fascinating. When Delta said that they would sever their discount ties with the NRA, the legislature in Georgia, where Delta is headquartered, actually passed legislation to punish them for it. So attuned are they to the wishes of the NRA. It's a fascinating story and a little more complicated than I just made it sound. We'll talk to somebody who's been covering it after the news at 2. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNradio.com. If you're an Amazon Echo user, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. Our news is sponsored by CMEGroup.com. We'll check with the doctor after this news to see how well our triple your donation match is going on my Facebook page on WGN King John.
Thinking big thoughts. So you don't have to.
How about big?
Here's John Williams.
Dollars. It's 2:07. This is John. We're in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. The sun is shining. Folks are enjoying it.
Lord have mercy.
Now, it's in the 30s in most of our listening area, but I don't know. It feels pretty good today, doesn't it? It's 2:07. Violette, I saw you outside a little bit ago.
Yes, I was out there filming my weekend warning. It's nice out. You got to be in the sun.
Yeah.
If you stay in the sun, it's nice.
I noticed that. What was I doing today? I was going for a jog. I was running along a block that was shady. I turned the corner into sunshine, and it felt like 10 degrees warmer. It's amazing sometimes what a difference it'll make. So, just before the news, we were talking to Dr. Mike Hanna over at the Joint Relief Institute and Jane Melvin, who is the organizer of the Dancing with Chicago Celebrities. Do you have my fancy dancing music there, Producer Elif? Hit it if you do. It's my blue suede shoes.
One for the morning,
this is the song I'll actually be dancing to.
Sounds pretty quick, John.
I've watched video of me dancing because I practice this a lot. My body doesn't do what it used to be able to do. This is something I've learned. Producer Elif, where were we before the doctor came on and announced his match, and where are we now?
You went from $5,988 to $6,753.
Oh, really? $6,753?
Yes, so what, 600.
$6,753? Is that what you said?
Yes.
And what was the first number? We were at 5988. 5988. So that's 12 plus 753. Hey, Dr. Mike, this is John Williams. So that means during the news, we raised just under $800. We raised just under $800, Dr. Mike.
Amazing. I love it, John.
Yeah. And we still got some room in there, so we're going to keep doing this until 3 o'clock. You said you would triple any donation that came in at $50 or more. So Jan gave $50, Susan gave $100, a listener named Deborah gave $50, an anonymous $50. Sharon, Nancy, Karen, Julianne, thank you all for your under $50 donations, an anonymous one under $50. Jane gave $50, Karen gave $100. So those are the kind of donations we're getting, and you're going to double every donation and triple every one that is over $50. Am I right?
Correct, correct. So I really like what Jane said, that they have no paid staff. All the money goes to research and helping people with getting mammograms. This could literally be saving life. Like, we do a lot of contribution, but not a lot of people have no paid staff. All the money goes to research and goes to preventative measures. That's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, let's go ahead and put $50. We'll double it for you and help all those people out there.
Yeah. Okay. Well, if anybody knows a little bit about...
The end of the show, though.
Say it again?
Before the end of the show.
Yeah,
before
let's... Okay. All right, let's do that. It's 2:10. We're not done yet. I'm going to call you again in about a half an hour, Dr. Mike, and let's see how much more money we can raise. We are at 6753. Which still has me in the middle of the pack for this fundraising competition. I'll check in with you a little before 3 o'clock, okay?
See you in a little bit. Okay.
All right, that's Dr. Mike Hanna over at the Joint Relief Institute. He said I'll be the next matcher for you, John. Thanks, Doc. That's the Joint Relief Institute in Orland Park, 000, as in zero pain on your knees over there, and now he's putting his money where my mouth is. I appreciate that.
And he's not just doubling it. He's tripling any donation over 50.
That's amazing. That is
That's
amazing.
Huge.
That's real. That's a real check. It's real money. It really is real. I don't know how else to say it. 50 is now 150. Thanks, Doc. So let's go from him to, I think that's Bob Bryan, who is over on line 7. Bob is a policy reporter at Business Insider. Bob, thanks for joining us on WGN Radio. How are you today?
Good. I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
You've been writing about this NRA story and how companies are acting and reacting to it. The NRA had a bad week, didn't they, or a couple of weeks. And so then a lot of companies said, all right, we're going to discontinue our discounts or whatever kind of relationship we have with the NRA. If we were giving our if we were giving NRA members discounts at the hotel, discounts on the rental car, etc., we're no longer going to do it. It's bad for business, or at least the optics are bad. So then what happened with Delta Airlines? Talk to me a little bit about that story.
So as you mentioned, after the tragic shooting in Parkland, Florida, school shooting, there was a lot of pressure, a boycott NRA movement for activists saying, urging people to boycott brands that were giving discounts, like you said, to the NRA. One of those was Delta Airlines. They were offering NRA members a discount on flights to Atlanta for an annual NRA conference. They were listed on the NRA's website as a partner. So there was some public pressure on Delta following kind of the Parkland shooting. And eventually Delta, over the weekend, decided to end that partnership with the NRA, that they would not be giving NRA members discounts on flights to Atlanta for this conference. And they also said that they asked the NRA to take any Delta insignias and logos off of their website. which did end up kind of causing a backlash for the airline.
How so? What happened as a result of that?
So after Delta made this announcement on Saturday, a number of lawmakers in Georgia, where Delta is based, Delta is headquartered in Atlanta, Atlanta, Georgia, a number of Republican lawmakers said that the Georgia legislature is considering a tax bill, kind of, it's, you know, lower the sales tax in Georgia and income taxes. And part of that was a tax break for airlines that did business at Atlanta's airport. Part of the tax bill would give, basically exempt airlines from a tax on jet fuel when they fueled up at Atlanta's Hartsfield-Jackson Airport. Delta, being based in Georgia, does a lot of business out of Atlanta. It's their main hub. They have a lot of flights going in and out of there. So this tax break would have saved Delta about $40 million a year. So Republicans, especially Republicans who are running for governor this year, just kind of came out and said that this attack, they said that Delta was attacking the NRA by ending this partnership, and that the state of Georgia shouldn't give Delta this, you know, $40 million tax break when they're kind of, you know, the lieutenant governor said they were attacking conservative values. And so they ended up actually stripping out this tax exemption for Delta from the broader tax bill that passed yesterday. So essentially, Delta ends the partnership with the NRA following the Parkland shooting. The Georgia legislature decides that's kind of an attack on Republicans and conservative values. So they strip out this huge tax break for Delta, and now Delta kind of missed out on this $40 million tax break.
Other airlines that fuel up at Hartsfield, will they get the tax break?
They will not either. So other airlines account for a lot less. All other airlines combined at Atlanta only would have saved about $10 million a year. So, you know, four out of every $5 saved was going to be saved by Delta. So it definitely dings other airlines, but nowhere close to what Delta lost out on.
You said, though, that the association that the NRA had with Delta wasn't, I thought it was any NRA member that flies on Delta gets a discount. They were only getting discounts if they flew to Atlanta for the NRA convention. Is that right?
That's right. It was a very limited partnership. The NRA is hosting one of its conferences in Atlanta this year, and so they reached a deal, since Atlanta kind of is the home of Delta, to kind of provide a discount for NRA members for those flights to the conference.
Well, how many flights are there? How many flights does that represent? Do you know?
I'm not 100% sure, but I think it's only a handful, maybe a dozen.
Flights into Atlanta for the convention. So I guess you would just say incoming Delta flights the Friday or Thursday of the event when people are coming in. those, and if you're an NRA member, you then get a
right.
discount coming to
right.
Atlanta. So it's a very right. limited group of people that are actually enjoying any savings. And for
right.
that handful of flights and those limited number of people, the Georgia legislature is going to take away a $40 million tax break from Delta?
Yeah, I think a lot of it kind of comes down to, as I mentioned, it is election season, and the Republican primary for governor is coming up in a few months, and I think a lot of this kind of started over the weekend as one of the lesser-known candidates for governor in the GOP primary in Georgia kind of raised the alarm on this, and a lot of other candidates also running for the Republican nomination for the governor of Georgia hopped on board, one of them being the Lieutenant Governor Casey Cagle, who obviously holds a lot of power in the state. Even the Republican governor, the current Republican governor, Nathan Deal, said that this it was the unbecoming squabble and essentially pinned the blame for this. He was very in favor, the current governor is, of this tax break for Delta, because Delta employs a lot of people. They employ 33,000 people in Georgia. And basically the Republican governor said this is just antics that we see in election years. It's everyone's trying to kind of out make them, you know, kind of out
sure.
do each other to play to the base.
Well, but it's more than antics, right, Bob? I mean, it's $40 million is real to Delta. It's not a $40 million charge, but it's a $40 million break they were going to get that they now don't. And they used to give them a discount on tax on the tax on fuel at Hartsfield, didn't they?
They did. So they actually instituted this tax exemption in 2005 when Delta was struggling. And, you know, like I said, they employ a lot of people. So Georgia decided to kind of help Delta out. It did lapse back in 2015. Delta's doing better, so lawmakers didn't see a need for it. But they decided that, you know, they're trying to get kind of economic advances, stay in Delta's good graces, help Delta grow. So they were trying to get it back, you know, as part of the law.
Bob Bryan's on a phone line, a policy reporter at Business Insider, talking about the Delta Airlines story, its relationship not just with the NRA, but the Georgia legislature as well. There's a moment of truth, isn't there, Bob? I mean, so you're Delta Airlines. You can save $40 million if you just lit, as you said, a handful of flights with a handful of NRA members coming in for the convention, or hundreds of them, whatever. But it's not an ongoing year-round policy. It's not on all flights. It's just people coming in for this convention this one time. We're going to give that handful of people a break and save them some money on their flight. If you keep that in place, you save $40 million. If you don't, because the winds are blowing a different direction right now, you're going to lose a $40 million discount. And what did they do? They lost the $40 million. You may call them fools. You may applaud the courage of their convictions. But, boy, that's a tough call to make, I think, for an airline.
Absolutely. And Delta CEO Ed Bastian actually came out today and stood by the decision. There was a memo sent to all Delta employees in which the Delta CEO said that, you know, the decision to drop the partnership with the NRA was not made for economic gain, and he said that the Delta's values are not for sale. So taking a pretty strong stance on this, and there may be some calculus that Delta is playing of, you know, if there is this big pressure and this possible boycott, you know, maybe, you know, the savings could eventually work out so that it wasn't quite worth it. And additionally, like I, you know, Georgia's governor right now, Governor Deal, also is still pushing for the exemption to be passed as a separate bill. So maybe Delta said that once this all blows over,
yeah, right,
and pass it anyway, so they can kind of have their cake of, you know, looking, you know, pleasing the boycott NRA crowd, and then eventually, you know, eat it too when they get, once this blows over, they can get their tax break.
Because sometimes companies move their headquarters. Boeing is in Chicago. It used to be on the West Coast. We're all courting the new Amazon HQ2. And you can just imagine if you know, I'm speaking out of my hat here, right? But
sure.
if Delta felt that the business environment in Atlanta wasn't real good for them, maybe they'd just say, you know, we'll just shop it around. We'll just shop our headquarters around and see if we can't get a better offer. And then see if...
Well, you've already got lawmakers. You've got the governor of Virginia coming out and saying, you know, we welcome Delta if they want to bring their business here. Andrew Cuomo, the governor of New York, saying we'd be happy to have Delta in New York. The mayor of Birmingham, Alabama, also saying that Delta is, you know, if they're not feeling the love in Georgia, they're welcome to move to Alabama. So there's already some lawmakers out there kind of doing a little, you know, dance for.
No kidding.
Maybe kind of get Delta to move their business.
I'll bet you I'm just going to make a prediction here, Bob, that they're going to come through with that discount one way or another. Our Judy Pilak in the WGN Radio newsroom here was doing a version of this story. I didn't hear it, but a couple of you didn't have texted in. Judy said only 13 people took advantage of that NRA discount. So it really was. But for 13 people, you know, there's a couple guys looking at laptops in an office somewhere in Atlanta going, hey, Bob, 13 people, $40 million. 13 people, $40 million. Which one's bigger? $40 million! We're going to give up a $40 million discount. Are you kidding me? And that's what they did. John, does Delta now pass the loss on to all Delta passengers by charging higher fees? I haven't heard anybody say anything about that. Have you, Robert?
No, I have not. No. I'm not. I don't think, you know, Delta made a tidy profit, about $4 billion last year. So while $40 million isn't a drop in the bucket, and I'm sure they'd love to have that, it's not like this is going to crush their business necessarily. So, you know, you may be seeing a lot of Delta fees for baggage and that sort of thing, but it may not necessarily be because of this, the loss of this tax exemption.
Bob Bryan is a policy reporter at Business Insider. Bob, I'll call you again. Thanks for your time. Thanks for your expertise today. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, John. One for the money,
two for the show. By the way, lots of texts on the show today. We are talking about people getting in their Uber and the Uber taking them to the wrong place. Maybe because you told them the wrong place. Take me home. I didn't mean home. One guy got a $1,600 bill on Uber because he passed out in the back of the Uber. The guy drove him 300 miles to what his phone said was home. It's not what he meant. Hey, John, a football player asked to go to Buffalo for camp. The driver thought it was Buffalo Wild Wings. Dropped him off at Buffalo Wild Wings, not the city of Buffalo. By the way, this is my Blue Suede Shoes song that I'm dancing to in the Dancing with the Chicago Celebrities event. We were at Dr. Mike Hanna over at the Joint Relief Institute said on the show today he will match any donation that comes in up to $1,000. And donations at $50 or more, he is tripling, so we're getting a lot of $50 donations. We started the show today at $5,988. LF, where are we?
$7,108.
We were at $5,988. We're now at $7,100. Whoop, whoop. So we've made over $1,000 today. Add to that another $1,000 from the good doctor. That's very good. Speaking of numbers, Aleph, where are we on the Dow today?
The Dow Jones Industrial Average is down 170.77 points. That's at 24,438.21 points. The Dow Jones is down 0.69%.
Okay, well, it's been worse than that. We're following the markets as well. They seem to be relatively stable, down 150, 180, 190, 200 in that range today. Not as big a loss as we saw yesterday. It has not been a great week. It's 2:37. That's why we need the bright side, your chance to call in. Tell us some good news in your world. We'll start picking up the phones in just a few minutes. Marsha Lyles from WGN Radio Sales walks down, didn't walk down the stairs. She takes the elevator down.
Yeah, and you said my name right, John.
I know. I'm kind of proud of that. So Marcia's here. Marcia will read your texts and I will take your phone calls. Tell us some good news in your world while you are smiling. Before we get to any of that, Dr. Mike Hanna from the Joint Relief Institute. You've heard me tell my story about going to that place to get pain in my knee relieved, and you can too. Said he would triple donations to my Dancing with the Chicago Celebrities pool. It's a cancer research fundraiser. The dance is, the competition's March 16th. I'm trying to get as much money raised as I can for this event. And Dr. Mike Hanna said he would triple any donations over $50 and double any donation up to $1,000. Mike, are you there? Doctor, are you on the line?
Yes, we're still here. So we have 22 minutes. 301, yeah. It doesn't count. So 22 minutes to go. And I love the cause. I love that they don't have any paid staff. And it's like cancer, breast cancer sucks. It destroys families. So just go ahead and donate $50. We'll make it $150.
Yeah, boy, hold on a second there, doctor, because we were at $5,988, and you pledged you would match donations up to $1,000. So $5,988. Aleph, where are we now?
$7,358.
So in the last about 25 minutes, Doc, we raised $1,200. So I have to check you out now. You've already given your $1,000 match. We're done with you, sir.
So how about this? We will put another $500 for the next 25 minutes.
Okay, so I'm at $7,358. If I can get another 500, if I can get to 7,800, you'll put in another 500?
Absolutely.
Generous, very generous.
This is so good. I'm thinking about getting some extra knee pain myself, just so I can run over to the Joint Relief Institute and thank this
good
nice
people
man
over there.
All right. Well, then in that case,
you don't want knee pain. Knee pain sucks too. So
it's 2:39. I'm going to do this, doctor. Thank you for your donation. I'll call you again in about 20 minutes. Let's see where we are at 2:59. But if you want to make a donation, he'll double your donation and triple it if it's $50 or more, up to another $500 donated. We are at $7,358. All right, thanks, Doc. We'll visit again. Is that... Hochberg, are you there? What do you want?
John, I'm going to give you $500, and if you take first place, I'll give you another $500.
Oh, now that's good. Wait, $500 in the fundraising or $500 in the dancing?
No, $500 in the fundraising, and if you take first place in the dancing, I'll double down and give you another $5 bills.
You could give $1 million if I win first place in the dancing.
I figured the second $500 is safe. Right? So I figured I'd throw it out there as a carrot.
Oh, that hurts. Okay, but if I win in the fundraising goal, you'll kick in an extra $500?
I'll kick in. If you win in the fundraising goal and come in first place, I'll give you $500 for each.
All right.
But you got me down for $500 no matter what.
Okay.
I figure the first place is safe. But if you need whatever you need, John, you know I'm there. I got your back.
Okay, but I'm not going to count your $500 towards the doctor's match, am I? Is that what you're suggesting?
Yeah, you can count it for the $500, and then if you get to your goal, I'll give you another $500.
All right, so we are
good to me, and I want to support you, John.
Well, I really appreciate that. So if I'm at 7358, Marcia, are you writing these numbers down? Then another $500 plus another $500, and we can make another $500 on that if I can raise $500. All right, here's what you need to do on Facebook. I'm WGN King John. Or go to AMDWCC, Arthur Murray Dance with Chicago Celebrities. Mr. Hochberg, I'll talk to you later, my friend.
Okay, buddy. Have a good weekend.
That's David Hochberg from Pearl Mortgage.
You have some good friends.
I'm telling you, yeah. I did not know that I had if I'd been a lot nicer to these guys a long time ago, instead of giving money to all these good causes, maybe they would have dropped some of it on me.
I don't know about that.
All right, Elif, go ahead and play our next musical medley here. What are we featuring? Hit it. Letter, you know who this is?
I have no idea.
Fridays at this time, we like to feature something fun to do over the weekend. We usually start with the music bit. What are we listening to here, Elif? This is MGMT?
Yes.
That's how I say it, MGMT?
Mm-hmm.
Accompanied by Cola Boy with two Y's, because that's...
Because why not?
Because why not?
It's Friday.
Playing at the Riviera Theater this Sunday. Tickets are $45 at rivieratheater.com. I like this.
I do too. I love MGMT.
Also, if you're looking for fun things to do, the Chicago Vintage Clothing and Jewelry Show. Chicago Vintage Clothing and Jewelry Show is at St. Andrew's Greek Orthodox Church tonight and tomorrow. 3 to 8 tonight. They'll do it again tomorrow. Tickets are $8. You can buy vintage clothing and jewelry from a variety of 50 vendors. This is at St. Andrew's Greek Orthodox Church. Author Gillian Flynn is appearing at the Community Christian Church in Naperville alongside Patton Oswalt. That's tonight at 7 o'clock. Tickets $33 include a book, or you can pay $43 for two tickets and a book at PattonOswaltAnderson.BrownPaperTickets.com. Whatever. The Wolves are playing at the Goodman Theater. That's the show about soccer girls and their families. Chris Jones gave it 4 stars. They've added extra dates. They've had a rush at the Goodman. It runs through March 18th. Tickets are $10 to $47. Let's Wrap at the Museum of Contemporary Art is Sunday at 6 o'clock. It's part of the MCA's Inside Out series, a conversation with Chance the Rapper, moderated by Pitchfork writers. Chance the Rapper giving a talk, visiting with some Pitchfork folks. Visit mcachicago.org. That's Sunday downtown. The Monster Jam is at the Allstate Arena in Rosemont this weekend. The Monster Jam is over at monsterjam.com. And the Chicago Beer Fest is taking place at the Field Museum tomorrow at 8. What a great venue. What a lot of fun. Tickets are $45 to $55. ChicagoBeerFestival.com. So you
think the Polar Plunge is Sunday.
Is it really? Polar Plunge is Sunday?
They rescheduled it for this Sunday.
Oh, that's was it too cold when they were going to do it?
Yeah, it was too cold, so they're going to be at North Avenue Beach on Sunday.
How about that?
The Bulls are at the United Center.
White Sox are on the road. Cubs are on the road.
MommyCon is going on in Rosemont.
What's MommyCon?
I think it's a convention for moms.
Well, it makes sense if they were going to call it MommyCon then. By the way, we'll pause here and then do our Bright Side segment. So here's your chance to call, 312-981-7200 or text to 312-981-7200 and tell us something that's making you smile.
Some things in life are bad.
Remember, we don't judge
really make you
your bright side. Whatever's making you smile,
things just make you swear
something big, something small, something when little, something large. We want to hear some good news today. Call right now, 312-981-7200. It's The Bright Side on WGN. Sponsored by the Joint Relief Institute. Marcia Lyles from WGN Radio Sales is in the studio. She's going to read your text if you text it to that number, too. What's your bright side personally? What's the thing that's making you smile?
I have a few things, but, you know, I'll just mention one. This Sunday, I'll be attending a play, Steel Magnolias.
Nice.
That was a good film. So now I get to see it on the stage.
Where's it playing?
It's going to be in Munster, Indiana.
Oh, no kidding. A local theater over there, huh?
Yeah.
Violetta, bright side, why are you smiling today?
Me and my grandma are going to the John Hancock and to, what's that place? Oh, Navy Pier. This
yeah, Navy Pier. Yeah. What a nice thing. What a nice weekend, you and your grandma.
I know. It's going to be so nice.
Sunny and warm, too, relatively. Good for you. Hey, Kevin, what's your bright side over in Sportsland? Now, hold on, Kevin. I'm going to turn your microphone on. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, John. This is kind of a big one, and I don't want to overshadow everybody else this afternoon.
Yeah.
But I got new brake pads this morning, and I'm super excited about it. Look on the bright
side. Yeah, I'll go that and then one better. I took my car in for what I knew was a $2,000 repair.
Yeah.
At C.J. Wilson of Countryside, the Mazda dealer there. And I'm just like, I just put my wallet on the table and said, I'm going to walk away. You take whatever you need.
Take all my money. Just
whatever.
Fix it.
I'm vulnerable. I'm hurt. My car needs fixing. Please be nice to me. Guy came back an hour later. He goes, you know what? We can do it for $200. I'm like, oh, this is the most wonderful. I've never been happier to give somebody $200 than I was
huge.
Just C.J. Wilson. Aleph, what's your bright side?
I have a new music column, and it's on the WGN radio website.
How do
ears
we find?
Ears of Elif.
The Ears of Elif. Elif knows her music. All right, let's pick up some phone lines. We'll start with, Steve, you're on WGN. Why are you smiling today, Steve? You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing today, guys?
Good.
Good. Well, I just left work for the week, and I'm done. We're heading on a plane Sunday morning to fly to Scottsdale for a week. For some sunshine, and we're going to catch a Cubs game in preseason. How's that?
How about that? Always look on the bright side of life. Let's go to Carl. Hey, Carl, what's your bright side? Why are you smiling, Carl?
Hey, John. Good weather this weekend. Going to get on my bicycle, hit the Salt Creek Bike Trail. And before I forget, John, do not go fourth on the third with the fifth, for you may not go fourth on the fourth. Thank
the light side of life.
Let's go to line 11. Pat, you're on WGN. Why are you smiling, Pat? You're on the air.
Hi, John. I'm smiling because my husband just got a new smile with new implants.
That's amazing. So he's got new teeth. And does he look more handsome than he used to?
Oh, he looks so fabulous.
Read some of the text. What have you got?
All right. Area code 262. My bright side is my wife and I had an argument and haven't spoke to each other in 2 weeks, which means I haven't been yelled at in 2 weeks. Woohoo! You must always face the
curtain with a bang. Give me another one.
Area code 48847. I was able to have an attitude adjustment by spending 10 days in Cancun.
Hey, Mary, you're on WGN. Why are you smiling this afternoon, Mary?
Good afternoon. I'm smiling because I work at Lake Village Elementary in Indiana, and we celebrated Dr. Seuss's birthday today. I handed these students a cup of punch and some goldfish crackers, and they were smiling. And working in a school, any reason to make a kid smile these days is awesome. If life
seems jolly rotten. Mary, thanks for the call. Bill and Wendy were talking about Dr. Seuss's birthday today. Happy birthday, Dr. Seuss, and to all of those of you that work with those kids. What a good idea. Georgina. Georgine, is it Georgine? You're on WGN. What's your bright side?
Hi. On Monday, I went to a Jon Bon Jovi concert, and I had my picture taken with John. I was so excited.
It's funny because he called a little while ago and said he was so happy to meet you. Can you believe that?
Oh, wow, that's great. Life is quite
absurd. Let's go to Heidi. You're on WGN. Heidi, what's your bright side? You're on the air.
Hi, my bright side is we're visiting from Minnesota, and I just love hearing your voice.
Oh,
we miss you.
Thank you. I miss Minnesota, too, and the bright side lives on here.
Oh, good, good. But it's so much fun to hear you. I just wish I could hear you in Minnesota. So.
Thanks, Heidi. They do have this thing called the Internet, but thank you for listening, and you listen to our friends up there as well. They got a good radio station. Read me some more, Marcia,
right.
Bright Sides.
Well, we have something good here from area code 908. My bright side, I saved over $1,600 today by correctly using my Uber app. I saw my destination on the provided map in the app, and I knew I wasn't going to wake up.
Thank
in
you
Missouri
for listening. Be silly chumps. Just push your Read one more.
All right, my bright side of life is all three of my married daughters are due to have a baby next week, the 8th, the 12th, and 16th of March. Life is good.
Hey, Therese, this is John. You're on the air. What's your bright side?
Hey, John, my bright side is that the drugs that I've been taking now, the new ones for MS, has allowed me to be strong enough to go to Washington next week to lobby the Congress to make sure research money is still allocated for those of us with disabilities.
You have been calling us for a while. This is the third time you've called. Are you the one that's on that trial drug, right?
I am. And I'm doing great. And I don't have to have a scooter, and it's awesome. Life is good.
Hey, hold on one more time, okay? I want to catch up with you off the air, okay, Therese?
Okay, sure.
Time for maybe one more from me and one more from you, Marcia. I'll take Wes. Hey, Wes, it's John. You're on WGN. Why are you smiling today, Wes?
After 48 years and 7 months at the same job, I am now retired for 2 whole months.
How's it working out, Wes?
It's pretty darn good.
Happy days to you. What have you got, Marsh? One more.
All right. Area code 630. My friend had a bleed in her brain last week, and she's doing great. No major surgery and no more bleeding.
Come on. We appreciate your calls and your texts. We do this on Fridays. It's a good way to start the weekend, isn't it? And get ready for Rose Rants. He and Anna DeVlantis will be in the studio in just a minute. Marcia Lyles from WGN Sales. Thanks for coming in, my dear.
Thanks, John.
Well done. It's 2:56. This is WGN. By the way, the guy that runs that joint, Dr. Mike Hanna, is on the phone. Hey, Doc, listen, you said you would triple any donations that came in today over $50. Elif, where are we on our total? We started the show just under 6,000. How much money have we raised today?
$7,539.
$7,539.
I love when she does that.
What do you mean? Mike Hanna, thank you, sir.
This is just so amazing. It's the power of giving. Nobody knows how it works, but it works.
Isn't it funny? Yeah, I know. I say, please give, nobody gives. Then somebody like you comes in and says, I got a good idea. I'll match $1,500 worth of donations. And we made more than that today, Mike Hanna. Thank you for your time, sir. And thank you for your donation.
We have a minute left. So
we do.
Give.
We do. And you'll see my knee real soon, my friend. By the way, David Hochberg, you know, you've heard of him,
sure,
too, Pearl Mortgage. He called in when people start giving money, he calls in. And he threw in $500 into the bucket, too. And
good for him.
And he said that if I win the dance competition, he'll throw in another $500. He thinks he's pretty safe with that. What are you guys doing this afternoon?
We have a lot. Jam-packed show today. We'll get right to it. But Michael Steele's coming up, former RNC chairman. He's been under fire. I think you might have seen the flack from the CPAC, the conservative group. Called him, you know, said that he was only got the job because he was the black guy and has since moved back from that.
Oh, they've said that about Michael Steele?
About Michael Steele. And,
wow,
you know, he's accustomed to these sorts of attacks, but doesn't make it any better. He's going to talk about that, but also bring us up to speed on the world of politics, as will A.B. Stoddard from Real Clear Politics. She's here today. Also, elections right around the corner, right? Just a couple weeks away. And do you know who to vote for judge You know, you always get the ballot, and you wonder, who do you
it's simply you vote for the Irish guys.
The ones with their nice-sounding names. That always works out, right? Well, we've got the chairman of the Judicial Evaluation Committee for the Chicago Bar Association.
What a good idea.
Help us work that. You know, we're talking Oscars this weekend with Richard Roper, including what's coming out this weekend, but also what to expect for the Oscar ceremony. That, and we have a 12-year-old violin virtuoso.
I've heard this kid.
Have you? Have you listened to
his only
music?
In the promos. Yeah, in the promos. We've been running commercials for you guys.
Not what you'd expect.
That's a 12-year-old?
12-year-old. He's performed at Bulls games and stadiums and things like that, but he's a Chicagoan, and he's pretty darn incredible.
Have a good weekend. Have a good show, Anna.
Thank you very much.